survive that calculation. That God's thoughts are so vast and so loving towards us. And I want to introduce my topic with this understanding of God's love for us. His love is so enormous, so widespread, that even Paul, when he's sharing this and writing this in Ephesians chapter 3, he talks about the love of God being, that we will know this love, the length, the width. And he goes in dimensions, and then he moves beyond dimensions, says the full measure, the fullness, even beyond measure, that you'll know the love of God. And it's in the knowing and in the experiencing that I feel we can fully embrace what the Lord wants to do in our lives. Because it is about trust. If we know God's love and God gives us a word to step out in faith, when we know we're loved, there's this trust in our hearts that the Lord is for us. He's backing us. And then we can embrace all that the Lord has for our lives. And I love these scriptures in John as I introduce this topic in two parts. But I wanted to introduce it with knowing the love of God. Just want to read this in John 17. The very famous, can I say, theologians and the great thinkers have delved into John 17. Because it's an incredible chapter in that we are brought into Jesus' prayer to the Father. And if we go through the Gospels, we understand Jesus' prayer life was powerful and effective. He would spend time with the Father, and then flowing out of that, incredible miracles would roll out in that day. And hence why the disciples, they could have asked Jesus anything from him of being taught on a particular aspect, and yet they asked, teach us how to pray. So I just find that so profound, because they could see that through, as a result of Jesus' prayer life, this incredible flow out of the kingdom of God. But John 17, we are brought into the depths of Jesus' prayer life to the Father. And there's this part of this prayer, which is to us as believers, and I want to read it to you. I haven't given it to the audio, guys. I just wanted to read this, just to encourage us on this aspect of the love of God. John 17, let me go from verse 22. I can't read it all now, but I'd encourage you to read it in your own time. I've given them the glory that you gave me. How's that, eh? That in this incredible union of the triune God, that God invites us into his glory. And Paul says we are growing in ever-increasing measure in the glory of God. And one day we'll be fully in the presence of the Lord and his glory. How's that for a future reality? And then in verse 23, it says, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So there's much to be said there about us being in the Lord and the Lord in us. What a thought, eh? What a thought of unity. What a thought of working together with God and God through our lives and participating in his glory in ever-increasing measure. And this is how the world will know. When that is flowing out, the world will see this and they will know, like, yo, there's reality to this. We see God in this. But this is where I wanted to focus on, which is so profound, and it really hits deep in my heart. And at this last part of verse 23, and have loved them as you have loved me. So just ponder that for a moment. Consider this. How much does the Father love the Son? How much does the Father love Jesus? And Jesus, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Father. It's beyond our finite minds. Our mental circuits overheat with this. But the thought that as you have loved me, that measure God wants to pour out in our lives. And in Romans 5, it even speaks of the Holy Spirit pouring His love into our hearts. Pouring, like full measure. So really trust that on our journey, we'll experience the love of the Lord and working in our lives. And then I want to say that God's love is practical. He loves us and then He's practical in outworking our lives, outworking His purpose in our lives. And I loved the worship, Sophia. It was so spot on to what I have prepared and what we prayed. It was outstanding. So this is the title of my message, because I want to look at it practically, how God's love flows through our lives and how He practically wants to put things in our lives and His values, His truths, so that we can go into them all. So the title of my message is this: making room for God to move in our lives in our moving forward with Him. Making room for the Lord. Do you remember one of those songs that we were singing? Making room for the Lord, surrendering to Him. So I want to read these verses in Isaiah 54. I wonder if we can put it up there. We'll read it together. This is just introducing this topic. Isaiah 54, sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. I feel this as a prophetic, just a prophetic word over Kericha. Enlarge the place of your tent. It was interesting when Johan spoke about the funeral. There was a sense of enlarging to accommodate the one person. But how much more in looking at the one to looking at the Lord and making space for Him. I just thought there was something in that. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. And, you know, not to go into too much here, but speaking of a barren woman, in ancient times, if you were barren, you were unfavored. Even the way they settled in their camps, the barren woman would be on the outskirts. It would be seen as not a good thing if you were barren. And actually, this text is talking about God and His people. That without Him, we are barren. But with Him as our husband, the one who loves us, so much more can be accomplished. So much more can be done. And I love this practicality of God's love. It speaks of a tent. And a tent is like a home. And making room is this thought. And this is the thought that is in this text and of God speaking to His people. And I feel very relevant for us today. Is God is saying to them, make room for me. Stretch the curtains wide. Put the stakes in so that I can fill that space. And that's what I want to weave into my talk today, is making room for the Lord. And I want to specifically take one practicality, and that's the stake. To knock in that stake. The cord was lengthened to open the curtains wide, and then the stakes were strengthened to hold that space. And I've got 5 pointers today about strengthening the stakes so that we can make space for the Lord to come fill it and that we can surrender to it. And I'd like to look at a journey that the Israelites undertake. And it's an incredible and very important journey. But unfortunately, most of them don't go into the promised land. Unfortunately, but Joshua and Caleb and the younger generation do go in. And it's the two years in the wilderness where God leads His people from the Red Sea to Kadesh Barnea. So I'm going to take you on a journey, and I'm just going to look at the top view of this. I can't go into each part of it, but I want to take you on a journey of some key pointers in that which Jesus was doing as I'm thinking of Jesus as the I am, and I'm using that parallel, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we know of Yahweh, the introduction and this understanding of Yahweh to Moses, where Moses gets this revelation of God saying, I am who I am. And then in the third person, we have the understanding of Yahweh, where he says to Moses, tell them I'm Yahweh. And very practically, it is about God intervening and coming down and rescuing his people from slavery and into this path and into this ancient path that we learn from of this incredible journey that the Lord had for them. But they had to make space, and God wanted to lead them. So these 2 years were critical in preparing them to go into the promised land. So that caught my attention. How does God work in a way that would prepare his people to go into the more? And I love what Bill says, a one-liner that he had. Bill, do you want to say it?
He's going to say it in Scottish. What the Lord gave you, Bill, I should say.
You cannot go forward if you're always looking backwards. Think about that. Scottish voice.
So give the English version. We must keep going forward. So my first point on this journey, and let's get the scriptures up there, Tiana, if that's okay. My first point is understanding the gospel and that Jesus saves. And we really need to be sure, first of all, that we are saved. Because I'm concerned at times when I chat to those that are in church and are attending, if they really are saved. Have they really experienced the new birth? As it is explained in John 3, to be born again. And I've had this experience where I've led a church for many years and came to understand that there were people that I'm leading that are not saved. And when I've unpacked the gospel, I've realized, wow, Lord, I've overlooked it. And it very much became part of my preaching to always bring the gospel in, to not overlook it. And in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world, there's that word love, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not stand condemned, will be saved, will not be condemned. Whoever believes in him will be saved. So let me give Tian these verses. We're going to have a look at their first part of their journey.
Tian, if you could go to Exodus 15,
verse 22. So this is the part where they travel for 3 days from the Red Sea. And I've heard scientifically from a medical person that it's more than 3 days without water, you will not live. You must have water. So it is interesting just scientifically thinking about it. But let's read it. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur for 3 days. They traveled in the desert without finding water. 3 days without water. That's hard, eh? And they've just come out of their life under Pharaoh, and now God's leading them. Can you imagine how they're feeling? Why is it so tough? God has brought us to here, but it's so hard. But the Lord wants to do a deep work in our lives. And it's part of those trials that he wants to build maturity and build strength. So when they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That's why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. I love it that Moses cried out to the Lord. He was looking for a solution. So would we, and so would I have grumbled, most definitely. Like, I'm going to die. What's happening? And he asked the Lord, what is the solution? And the Lord showed him a piece of wood. And I love that. I immediately thought of a piece of wood that has held our destiny and our future. That piece of wood has held that in the balance, what the Lord did there. That we can either receive what the Lord did or not. And the pivot of us receiving Him and receiving eternal life. And you know, he sees this word, and then it says he threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. So yes, I'm thinking of the death and resurrection of Christ here. When I read that story and I think of the 3 days, it reminds me of that incredible story that Jesus, after the third day, rose from the dead and had risen from the dead. And Jesus refers to himself as, I am the resurrection and the life, as Johann shared in the prayer group about Lazarus. And how amazing that the Lord can turn our bitter situation of being trapped in sin and the death that comes with sin and the judgment of God that rests over us, that we have no way out. After 3 days without water, there's no way out. That there is hope, there is a solution, and it's in Him. And this is the gospel. That when we receive Christ into our lives, we are born again. And as it says, and as we understand it, the Holy Spirit brings to life our dead spirit in us. Our human spirit is made alive. And we can see the Lord. We can see the kingdom. And the new life begins. And we are led by the Holy Spirit. So I just love that. And it goes on further to speak about who God is. And God reveals that He's the healer. And the 3 words that describe salvation is to be saved, to be healed, to be delivered. Those are the 3 outworkings of God's saving work. First of all, we are saved in right standing with the Lord, in Christ, positioned in right standing. And we understand it by this justification by faith. That by receiving Christ, we declared innocent because of the work of Christ. Which is an incredible thing. Just that goes beyond my mind. I keep growing in this understanding that it's the finished work of Christ. And in Him, we are declared innocent. And we are righteous before the Lord. Yet our condition is one of carrying a sinful nature. And now there's a process of being saved in the sense of becoming more like Christ and living in what we've been positioned in, becoming that. So, first point, the gospel. I have so many things to say on this, but I really hope today you know for sure you are right before the Lord. And if that is the case, may it deepen in your understanding of the incredible work of Christ. And then also that we live out the gospel. We live out the gospel in our lives, in what we share. And we share with people what the Lord has done for us. When we do that, I feel that stake goes in deep. And we create space for God to work and do His incredible work in our lives. Okay, let's move on to the next one. So we got first one, the gospel. The second one is growth in the Lord. Tian, I wonder if you can go to the next set of scriptures. Jan, I just want to check my time there. It's 9:56. When do I end or when did I start? If you can guide me. I want to work on that 30 minutes. Okay. Exodus 16. So they move from the desert of Shur to the next point, and God is now working in their lives. All right. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin. Just by the way, from that experience of bitter water turning into sweet water, which salvation is, the Lord leads them to a wonderful place of rest. It was palm trees and it was an amazing place, Elim. But from Elim, they come to the desert of Sin. It sounds hectic, eh? Which is between Elim and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month, after they had come out of Egypt, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to him, if only we had died by the Lord, the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you've brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. I think those were the five, and then I had some other more. But yeah, we have again a test, and again this journey of making room for the Lord to work. Again, a very hard situation. They're hungry, and they're seeking the Lord, and the Lord does provide. And I want to encourage all of us in the times that we are in, and very difficult economic times, that the Lord does provide, and the Lord does come through for us. And I want to tell you a story of when I was in Uganda many years ago, and I may have told you the story before, just to encourage us as the team, the body of Christ, as Karika, and me with you guys today, is that the Lord does come through for us. We are to just keep looking to Him. So I was preaching this one Sunday in a beautiful local church in Uganda. And the preach went well, and the guys were encouraged. And then the leaders said to me, we would like to take up an offering for you. And I said to them, sure, no, I've been sent to come preach. There's no need to take up an offering, but I'm very thankful for this kind gesture. But they insisted. So there was a bit of a conversation going on in the front, and the people were all staring at this. And I thought, I better not now talk more. I said, take up the offering. So they started to take up the offering. And as they're taking up the offering, the Lord speaks into my heart and says to me, Adrian, that offering is not for you, but it's for that lady. And I see the lady somewhere in the middle. And the Lord points it out to me. And He says, it's for that lady. And I thought to myself, sure, I've got to now explain to the leaders when I get this offering. Yeah, I have to have the right words. So the offering gets brought to me, and I said, no, I can't take it. Then the leaders, they look at me, what's going on now? I said, the Lord has spoken to me. It's for this lady there. And they said, okay, let's do it. So they give her the offering, but they count it with her. And then all of a sudden, she jumps up screaming. The whole church goes into exuberant praise, and it was like dust in that venue. And it was like, Lord, something incredible has happened here. I know I've preached and it was good, but now, Lord, You are really working. So I called one of the leaders. I said, what has just happened? So he said, Adrian, you won't believe this. This lady came today. She came with just enough money to get here. And throughout this meeting, she's been seeking the Lord. Please, Lord, I can't get back home. And she stayed quite far away. I have no ways of getting back. Please, Lord, I need the money. And she kept crying out to the Lord. And when they gave the offering, it was the exact amount for the fare to get back home from that offering. So I want to encourage all of us that God sees our situations. Now, coming back to the Israelites, they were grumbling. And in their grumbling, you know what they were doing? They were looking back. Of the meat, the poikikos, like you guys will be next level with poikikos, I'm sure. Hey, George, I know you guys make a massive pot here. And when you do make it. But they were looking back. Let's get back to where we were. And you know, when we walking with the Lord, we may find ourselves at low points and we want to go back. We call it backsliding. We slide back. When the Lord wants to take us forward, they started to look back. But the Lord does provide for them manna from heaven, which is an incredible thing. And He also provides them quail. Now, I want Sophia to do something for me, if that's okay with you. I really felt you did something prophetic. You've got to do it again. Hans, I don't know if you could video this. But if that's okay with you. Now, Sophia had a word this morning Could you just say it and then act that out?
It's so funny. It's going to go on TikTok. No, I was just saying this morning before we were praying for worship, we were talking about how I've been reading in our quiet time in the Old Testament, how people kept on going back to their old ways. They kept on worshiping other gods. And then when they need the Lord, they will go back to him and then they'll just backslide again and go and worship other gods. And I was just saying, like, I almost see like a picture of a clock. And, you know, if a clock is broken, sometimes it ticks the wrong way. So I was saying, like, we need to tick forward so that we can continue to follow the Lord's ways. And I just went like this. I think that's what I did. Can't you remember? What did I do? You have to tick like a clock. This would be a real...
Thank you so much. Eh? I really appreciate that. Thanks for being game to do it. So I want to get to something that I feel is even more important than God providing for our natural needs. And this is where I want to bring back this second point of growing in the Lord. We grow in the Lord through his word. And I'm reminded of Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. And our nutrition spiritually is the word. Making space for God to work is allowing him to impart truth into our lives. To impart that. And you know, my journey started off where I knew one scripture. And I actually quoted it today, God coincidentally. John 3:16. When I came in the church, I only knew that verse. And I gave my heart to the Lord. And from that moment, I had such an incredible passion for the word. When I started to read the word, it came alive in HD, high definition. When I read it, I was like, wow. Because the Holy Spirit illuminates truth, reveals truth, teaches us. And we begin to grow as we feed. And I love that it was daily. Daily they received the manna. And then the next day, the next batch of manna. And the evening, the quail, the meat. So we want to go deeper in the word. Not just milk, but we want to go... How much time left? 10, huh? 10 minutes. Okay. We want to go deeper in the word. And it's been a journey of delving in the word. And even when I got to lead a church, and I sat around men that were speaking into my life, and I asked them, what would you see the greatest risk for me in leading? And they said, Adrian, if you don't have a well from the word, a well, a depth, to be able to preach from week to week, can you do it? Because I was working at the time, and I continued to work. And when they said that, I got such a fear of the Lord, I actually even went deeper. I would block out Saturdays and just study and work evenings, just getting the word and getting that nutrition in my life. So that was the next point, growth, the word of God. But I'm going to put another piece to this growth. And let's get to the next set of scriptures, the next part of their journey. Tina, if you can put it up, but let me help him to say which one it is. Let me just turn there. Hopefully you got that video, eh? Fantastic. Let's just get it. Give me a moment, guys. Exodus 17, verse 1 and 2. Let's go there. And then 5 to 7. Let's have a look at it. Another part of growth. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. How would you say it in Afrikaans? You know, can you see a pattern here? God takes us through hard things so that we can overcome. But if they, yes, they were going through a hard time with Pharaoh, but God was building something in the character. He was driving in those stakes, eh? Strengthening them so that they could be more. So they quarreled with Moses and said, give us water to drink. Moses replied, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test? Let's go verse 5. The Lord answered Moses, go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and the water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? The Amalekites, okay. So what happens here is this rock gets struck, and there's this water that flows out of it. It must have been incredible to see. There's this rock, you hit it, and water just flows. But you just picture this. This water has to source by 2 to 3 million people. From that rock, the water is flowing. The second part to the growth in the Lord is the Holy Spirit. Now, I've already mentioned the aspect of the gospel. The Holy Spirit brings life into our being when we receive Christ and we receive new life. And then I do believe there's more that the Holy Spirit wants to fill us. As we read in Acts 2, the disciples were filled with the Spirit. In Acts 4, the same disciples were filled again. And it doesn't surprise me, as humans, we need more of the Lord. It's not a once-off. We keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Lord moving us in that. That has been a transformational aspect in my life. Coming from a very conservative background, embracing this idea of the Holy Spirit was a great challenge for me, but I just surrendered, as we sang in the worship song. I surrendered to the Lord. And it was the one Sunday I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was a very powerful moment. It was tangible for me. Doesn't always have to be tangible. Because it is by faith that we please the Lord. But I felt tangibly the Lord come and fill my heart. From then, there was such a boldness. As we read in Acts 2, the disciples were bold when they were filled with the Spirit. May you hunger and thirst for the filling of the Holy Spirit. The rock to me speaks of what I see is Jesus is the rock. And actually says that He baptizes us in the Holy Spirit and with fire. That He's the one that does that. And there's a continual encouragement for all of us to yield to the Spirit. To allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And there's two Hebrew words for the Holy Spirit. Ruach and fumo. I always struggle to say it. But those three Hebrew words talks, if you delve into it, there's three English words that we get from it. Breath, spirit, wind, with reference to the working of the Holy Spirit. And you'll read it in John 3, as Jesus explains to Nicodemus, that where the wind blows, we can't manage it. It's blowing, but we see it, we see the effect, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit. He comes in and He does as He pleases, according to the Word and as the truth would explain it. He comes and does that. And we are to flow with the work of the Holy Spirit. When we're on that journey, guys, we grow. We grow strong and we make room for the Lord. Now I want to share another story with you guys as my time is running out. It's a very good friend of mine. He leads a church in Pretoria, a very big church, but it's not CRC. He leads another church then. It's a big church, and he's a fantastic man. And he tells this story, and I want to cut it a little bit shorter. You probably know him. You would know him. So he felt in his heart to really get behind African pastors, because he felt in South Africa, for him, God is doing something with African pastors for revival. And God challenged him in this. He challenged him in this that your heart is for it, but what are you doing? Like God was stirring him. And he felt like he must do more than just saying it. So long story short, there was this pastor in East London that phoned him, an African man, and he said to him, I'm really battling to get a venue. I need help. And my friend said to him, like, as he said, my friend said, yes, I'm going to get behind you. We're going to we're gonna trust the Lord. So very soon after that call, he phones him again and he says to this friend of mine, there's an auction coming up for a building. And again, God stirs in his heart. Remember what I said, not just words, but action. And so he says, I'm flying down. I'm going to support you in this auction. So that night while they're all sleeping, an amount comes into the account. Someone deposits 1 million rand in their bank account. So they wake up the next morning and all the leaders are excited. They're going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And my friend, the leader of the church, says to them, I've got news for you. That money's not for us. It's for this man that I'm going to be traveling to. It's going to go towards that auction. 1 million rand. And he has this saying, while we were sleeping, God provided. While we could do nothing, the money came in. So the auction is happening now. Who's been to an auction before? How does the guys go? Like, what's the first bid? Like, it's pumping, eh? What's the first amount? So the first amount is 1 million rand. 1 million rand. So this young pastor looks at my friend. He said, what must I do? Because he's got no money. He says, go for it. But he says that as he's standing next to him, he feels the Holy Spirit come upon him and a boldness. This is my friend. He said he was filled with the Spirit. And he kept saying to this guy, go for it, like with passion, because he felt God's filling him now. And the first bid's 1 million. He says, go for it to this African pastor. He puts up his hand, 1 million. 1 million to that man. Then they carry on, and the other guys are competing. 2 million. The guy looks at him, what must I do? Go, go, go. And he says he's even praying in tongues. He's so full of the Spirit in this moment, my friend. 3 million, 4 million, 5 million, 6 million. And this pastor, he describes it so well. He says this young pastor, the sweat is pouring down like he's got no money to give. Well, he had 50,000. He had 50,000 rand. 7 million. And the guy's going, going once, going twice. Boom. This young pastor, you've got the property, sir. Meet me afterwards in the office for the arrangements. So this guy's sweating. He says, what am I going to do? I've got no money. And this friend of mine says, God's going to come through. Let's go for it. So they go to the room. And the man says, look, you got to pay up front now to secure this. So my friend asked the auctioneer or whatever the name is, how much is it for the deposit? Calculate. He says, 1 million. So he looks to this guy, and this guy looks to him. He says, don't worry. God provided last night the 1 million. There's the 1 million to you for this place. So that building's going, and that church is doing so well. But he was filled with the Spirit. And that's how we know that the Lord can do some great things. So moving on. Gospel growth. The next one is taking ground. Does that sound familiar, Sophia? Your worship song. Die Grond. Didn't we sing something like that? This lady. Take the ground. I know, your stuff was my message. Okay, guys, I'm just going to give you some overview points. And I'm sure Johan could take this one further. I'll just speak it to you. You don't have to turn there. But what happens, my third point is taking ground. The way we take ground. Are you ready for us? We're getting back to the bomb squad, George. The bomb squad point. The way we take ground is together. If we're not together, we lose the battles. The next part of the story, it's the first war that Israelites encounter. Their first war is against the Amalekites. And the way it is structured is such, how God leads them, is Moses is on the hill. And Joshua's fighting in the valley. But as long as Moses' hands is up, they win. But if his hands drop, they lose. And I don't have those two guys' names in front of me, but I know it was her and there was another man next to him, which I could give you the scriptures afterwards. But they hold up Moses' hand. So I want to say that the higher ground is unity. The higher ground is unity to win the battles in the valley. God is calling a team. When people ask me, how strong is your church? I never looked at numbers. If it is about numbers, it's about the Lord touching more people. But I wanted to know that every person, if I went to anyone in the congregation, I wanted to know that they personally connected to the Lord and they are connected to one another as parts of a body. But it starts with a personal connection to the head and then a personal outworking together. The higher ground is unity. What is my time there? My time's up. That's fine. I feel the Lord's done what he wanted to do. I want to tell you another story. Is that okay, Johan? I've just felt to tell stories today. Is, again, going back to Uganda, although I'm working a lot in Kenya. I did not know this church. Heidi was with me, and we had another lady. And it was on one of the hills in Uganda. And I had this message of John 10. But within this message, I had this thought of unity. I just had this thought, there's something about unity that I need to bring through. So the guys greeted us, and I got up on the pulpit, not as good as how Johan did it. He introduced me, he prepared me for today. And I stood up there, and I preached, and I got onto the topic of we in this together. You as a congregation on this hill, God has something for you. And as I'm saying that, the people are looking at each other, they're whispering, and I thought, phew, what is going on now? It must be you, Lord. It must be you. So I carry on. Then after that, I call the guys forward, and just about the whole church came forward, and I prayed for the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit filled the people. And you know what was amazing? While I'm thinking of it, there was this breeze that blew in, like the curtains flapped. Just the symbolism of the Holy Spirit working. So afterwards, I met the pastor, and I said, "You, it was such an incredible time with all of you." And he looked at me, and he looked at Heidi, and he said, "Adrian, do you know that from this week, we were going to split? This church was divided. The following week, we were going to split. There were leaders among each other. We were not going to make it. And now, you who knew nothing, brought this word of unity. That when we are unified, we can do something." And I was so encouraged. And it just reminded me how we need to link together, even in our marriages, to find that unity. So the higher ground's unity. My next point was God's presence. Where Moses built the tabernacle in Sinai. And Moses said this, "Lord, if you don't lead us, we will not follow you. It's your following that we want to follow your presence." And when God is in it, when God's presence is on what we're doing, we prosper. If we labor and do the things that God is not in, we labor in vain. We want to seek the Lord. And this aspect is prayer that I wanted to encourage you. And what did we sing? Our Father. Yes, I love the worship. It's like the whole message. We want to pray. We want to seek the Lord. I take afternoons off. I go take walks. Just me and the Lord. Being in his presence. And then my final point is go-getters. Go-getters, pioneers. And I think of, you know, probably generally this is an Afrikaans community. I think of the Voortrekkers. That's my lineage. My forefather was part of the Voortrekkers. And I thought, sure, how those guys pioneered. And how much more can we pioneer in the Lord? But what was my point really here is Joshua and Caleb saw differently. They saw the giants in the promised land through the eyes of the Lord. They were still big giants. The Anakites were very big people. But they saw it through God. But the others saw the problem in their own eyes. And I feel, Johan and the leadership team, that God is wanting to give you more expansion with. I've given you some stakes today, but expanding your territory to fill. And that filling, yes, is the filling of the Holy Spirit, but it's people. Adding people to your journey. And you may see the giants now, but look through the eyes of the Lord. And may you have the faith. Because go getting is faith. That was really the point around it. To have faith in the Lord. To take on that land that the Lord has for you.